KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin, as we have all this week, with wildfires. And for the second day in a row, we have good news. In Oroville, cooler temperatures and higher humidity allowed firefighters to gain some ground against the Butte Fire. That gained ground brought sorrow and pain, however, as the reclaimed land showed residents' worst fears were real. North State Public Radio's Mark Albert explains.
Under a still searing sun, a slow trickle of residents approached the Civic Auditorium in downtown Oroville at midday, hoping for the best. They'd come to hear directly whether their homes were among 41 destroyed. Carolyn Oplenick has called the foothills above Oroville home for nearly two decades. She said the inferno appeared Friday as if out of nowhere. She barely had enough time to grab her children and flee. On Tuesday, with 1,700 firefighters still battling the blaze, her faint hopes were extinguished.
It's like losing a family member, you know? I mean, I raised my kids there, and, you know, you see it, it's ash, you know? It's all gone, so. But we're alive. We're alive.
Others felt a mix of relief and guilt. Shirley Jones was told her home was untouched. Some nearby neighbors didn't fare as well, she said. After rolling with the punches following a harrowing escape, Jones wondered what catastrophe is next.
First you have the flooding and stuff downtown, and now we got the fires uptown. I'm going, my gosh, what more are they going to hit us with? Earthquakes?
Disaster relief officials from the county, state, and nonprofit agencies were offering aid and referrals to those impacted. For the California Report, I'm Mark Albert in Oroville.
We're going to go now to Sacramento. A bill that would overhaul the state's bail system cleared a key hurdle yesterday, and that required some changes, as KQED's California Politics and Government Desk reporter, Marisa Lagos, tells us.
Lawmakers pushing to reform the current money bail system say they've made several tweaks to Senate Bill 10, all aimed at addressing concerns raised by prosecutors and judges. The bill would move California away from a system that requires most criminal defendants to give hundreds or thousands of dollars to bail bond agents before they're released from jail, instead directing courts to let people free if they don't pose a risk to public safety. Oakland Assemblyman Rob Bonta says the recent changes require that victims be notified and that judges consider a person's criminal history before release.
We're taking into account the input that we're getting from some of the opponents and other stakeholders, and we're trying to address each one by one while retaining the integrity of the bill.
But bail bond agents say the bill will put the public at risk because defendants won't have money on the line. Topo Padilla heads the Golden State Bail Agents Association and owns a bail bond agency in Sacramento.
We as bail bondsmen know what we do in our criminal justice system, and we know it works.
The bill cleared the Assembly Public Safety Committee and next heads to Assembly Appropriations, where its cost will be examined. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Of course, it's not just bail that's unaffordable. Housing costs are growing to crisis levels throughout the state. That's a problem for school districts who are having a hard time recruiting teachers. So some school districts are teaming with builders to make new housing developments. And a new bill up before the Senate Education Committee focuses on making that easier. KQED's Silicon Valley desk reporter Tanya Mosley is here to explain. Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the California Report.
Good morning, John.
So this is a grant program that would essentially give $25 million to school districts to help them with housing. $25 million in a place like San Francisco will get you, what, 2.5 houses?
Something I know,
like
right?
Is this enough money?
So just to clarify, it's a $25 million grant, and school districts and developers can apply for money from that $25 million
Developers
grant.
Can apply.
Yes, developers that have already promised or have agreements with school districts to build housing. So when you put it like that, it actually even makes the amount seem even smaller. Mm-hmm. But what this is supposed to do is to help offset some of the projects that are already in place for many school districts. They, as you know, as you said, it takes a lot of money to build housing. And so many districts have found themselves at the beginning of a project, but they need help getting through the middle or the end of a project to provide housing.
And quite a few districts in the state have already made plans to build affordable housing, like you were just saying, Redwood City, Cupertino, San Francisco, just to name a few. Recently, a study came out that said San Jose is one of the most expensive places in the world to live. San Francisco also one of the most expensive places to live in the world. How would this bill help those districts in these very expensive areas?
It would actually just help them along in the project. So it's not meant to give them the money to from the beginning to the end of the project, but really to help them along. And if this passes, it also complements the Teacher Housing Act from a few years ago, which also gives districts explicit permission to set aside housing exclusively for its employees, basically taking advantage of state and federal low-income housing tax credits to develop these projects. That's important. That's an important note because under the old law, projects that use low-income housing subsidies had to be open to everyone who fell under those income guidelines. So really, this most recent bill that's going through this education committee, along with the Housing Act of several years ago, are working in conjunction to help districts get to that ultimate goal of providing housing for teachers and staff.
Okay, Tanya, so is there any pushback to this plan?
Unlike many other bills, this has a lot of support from the unions. So the California Teachers Association, the Federation of Teachers, and
those
the State
the
Building
ones.
Trades and Construction Council. And it's moved through pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens today. But it appears there's a lot of support.
Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare. Now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California, where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, July 12th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.